another one of those topics that, just like last week with marriage, the topic of parenting or mothering can produce one or probably all of these things when we think about mothering and being a mother. It can bring a smile to your face. Oh, it can bring joy to your heart. Oh, it can just, it's just the best thing. But, oh boy, it can bring heartbreak, and it can bring sadness, it can bring regret, it can bring guilt, it can bring condemnation, it can bring emptiness, but then it can bring joy, and it can bring happiness, and it can bring all of those things, probably all in one day, too, or all in one thought. Now, I thought, well, this is just very interesting timing for this topic, because there's so much sickness going around right now that a lot of kids are sick, so their mommies are home with them. And then, so I'll be talking with a lot of us my age and older that were through raising children. And then tonight, when you know we have our evening study, it happens to be the awards night for the kids, where the moms will probably come in with their kids and not go into study. So thankfully, we can record these things, and it's always good for us to be reminded, even after we've raised our kids, because, you know, when you're a mom, you are always a mom. It doesn't ever end. It changes. It changes. The seasons are just go in and out, but you're always a mom, and you know what? You're always a kid. If your parents are still around, you are their kid. My parents still say, well, the kids are coming up, you know, talking about us, you know, we're the kids. And so it's a good reminder. And plus, it equips us, I think, if we're through raising our kids, it equips us as Titus 2 women to be able to share with those who are just beginning in their mothering. So, but for those of us who have raised our children, and you know, it's been a couple of years, are there any of you who don't wish that you could go back and do things differently? Or are there any that maybe don't wish, they think, oh, if I knew everything that I know now, if I had my walk with the Lord the way it is now, and my knowledge and my understanding and all of that, and then started over, oh my, wouldn't it be different? It would be different. And I'm sure each one of us have looked back over the years and really wished we could have done some things differently and better. There are, there are no perfect mothers. And there are no perfect children. And that combination, you're going to have some problems, you know, throughout the years. There's always regret. There always is. I don't know a parent alive that wouldn't have any kind of regret. There's going to be regrets. But you can't live in that. You can't stay in that. Because you did the best that you could for where you were at that point in time. And God's grace covers everything, everything. You know, certainly what I know now and my relationship with the Lord, what it is today, I would be an entirely different mother. But I can't look back and say, oh, I should have and I wish I would, but you know, kind of thing. Because that's not who I was at that time. I was very young, growing in the Lord, trying. But yet you're going to make mistakes. We all did. So you have to stand in the grace of the Lord. And then a lot of people, they look back and they didn't raise their kids in the Lord at all because they weren't Christians. And that can be very difficult for a lot of mothers, knowing now what they know and having the relationship with the Lord. But at the same time, you did the best that you could do. And God knows He's on the throne and He has so much grace. So much grace. And And I know I'm telling you that, and you know that, and you're being encouraged by that. But you've got to be encouraged down the road, too. You get in those little moments, you've got to pull out and stand on the grace of God. And even if a child, adult child, wants to bring up some stuff, you know, you got to deal with it. If you've made big mistakes, you go back and you apologize. Then that's it. It's under the blood. And don't let anybody bring it up. And as I have one friend who said, just write it in your book, you know. But, you know, you got to stand and walk and live in the grace of God. And then you do get another opportunity, most of us do, as grandmas, grandparents. We get to do it again. And, it's a lot more fun being a grandma because you get to do all the fun stuff and you don't have to deal with all the other. It's just so nice. It just really is nice. And, you know, because I was a young mom, I was a very young grandma. I was 40 when the three of them were born. And I was still in the mother mode for the first couple of years. You know, I was still in the mother mode of, you know, and then one day I thought, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I don't care. Go ahead and have it. Yeah, you know. It's like, we were out to dinner a few weeks ago, Damien and I, and we took Harrison and Aimee with us. And they ordered off the kids' meal, and they got these little. My grandchildren are probably four of the most healthiest kids there are. Organic, I mean, just everything, no sugar, all that. So it's not going to kill them, you know. So they got a corn dog, these little corn dogs, and you know, Harrison just took one bite and decided he didn't like them. I don't care. It's fine. You know, and then we're eating, and then Damien and I are just kind of sitting there. We're watching Aimee, and she's picking up her little corn dog and eating all the outside, you know. And we found ourselves just kind of staring at her, and we looked at each other, and he said, isn't it great to be grandparents? I just said, it is, because if that was my child, I would tell her, you can't do that. This is public. You don't eat like that. That's not the... When you're a grandma, it's so cute, it doesn't matter. Now, Morgan is in childcare today, which is good, because she still doesn't know that. And I even let them have dessert, and they didn't finish their dinner. But I didn't tell her. And that's another privilege of being a grandmother. There are so many different, and just like marriage is so, it's so individual, because you've got different types of people. Mothering is very different. I mean, we've got all different kinds of people, different temperaments, so many different kinds of moms where, you know, we look around or you have friends and you know how differently they do things. Doesn't make them right or wrong. It's just very different than the way that you would do them. And there are so many different kinds of kids. I mean, you look at them and some are just like the typical kid, and then some are very different. It's like, oh, you're a little person. You know, you're not like a kid. You're like a little adult, you know. I mean, there's just such a variety of personalities, mothers and kids, and then so many different combinations then of mother and child that you get. Because you can have a type A mom, you know, just wired a type A type, and you can have a laid-back mom. You know, and we all know the difference between those two. Because the laid-back mom, it, you know, they're very random and it doesn't matter and they don't get upset and so what and, you know, and all kind of thing. And the type A mom, you know, kind of a thing. And so you get these combinations. So you get a type A child, well, you have a type A child and then you have a laid-back child. And you can tell pretty early what they are. Well, they're not. I had, Tyler is a type triple zipple A when she was born and still is just that type of child. I had a difficult child, had an easy child. And so you have the type A and then you have the laid back, the more easy to get along with, more flexible. You can have a lot of those. It's really hard to have a lot of the type A kind because they can kill you. And it was when it's your first child, which I was glad it was that way. I know a lot of people have it flipped. You know, they have the laid back and they just think they are the greatest mom in the world till their type A comes along. And sometimes that's not till number four or whatever, but, you know, all of us who had the type A first are just waiting for that day. But so I have, you know, I'm used to this type A. And then, you know, I have a friend who has very laid-back children. And I remember one day she had one of her children's walking age in a stroller in the fellowship hall for about a half hour, 45 minutes. And that little child just looks around. And she's over there, talking. And I thought, I don't understand this. Tyler was 10 months old, and she would climb out of her stroller and walk. Push it. Don't put me in that stroller. I want out of that stroller. I want out of that car seat. I want my own, you know, kind of a thing. And I just thought, I could have a lot of those. I guess it's just such, so different. And then if you have the type A mom with a type A child, it's really hard. I know this. It's very difficult because you know, and we had a lot of this kind of a thing even at 1 year old. You know, you go in your room and I close the door and she opens the door and I close the door and she opens the door and I'm going to win. She's going to win and I'm going to win. I'm bigger and I'm going to win and I'm going to close it, you know, kind of a thing, you know. And then you have the laid back mom with the type A child. Very different results between those two than the type A mom and the type A child. I mean, it's very interesting, the combinations. And I think it's really important for us to understand that so we don't compare. It tells us that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And we can get pretty puffed up as a mom if we have a lot of very compliant, flexible children that we think might be a little strong-willed because they said no one time or whatever, and then the other mom, you look down on the other ones whose kids are running all over because they're very, very hard to control. Or, you know, we can get puffed up or we can feel condemned because ours are running around and we're trying the best we can and hers are sitting there. And, you know, I mean, so it's just best as moms to just not compare, not compare. They go to the Lord. Who am I? Who have you made me to be? What instruction have you given me? What kind of child do I have? And then raise them accordingly. And we do have to believe, and we have to stand firm in the fact that God has given each mom the type of child that mom needs. And then God has placed that child into that family, and that child needs the parents that they have. It's all God ordained. And even in adoption, as Christian people adopt and they've prayed over it, and sometimes you can think, oh no, what happened? You've got to stand in that grace and in that faith in this is the child that God has given me. As difficult, as easy, as confusing or whatever that it might be, this is the child that God has given me. And I used to have to verbally, I would tell my children this, God gave you to me and you need me. I remind them every once in a while today. Okay, I'm still your mother and I'm still the mother that God gave you. You need me. Believe it or not, you do, even though sometimes we can rub each other the wrong way. It's an encouragement and a comfort, because at the beginning I always thought, oh, this poor child, why this isn't working, and why am I her mother? This isn't working. I love her, but I felt sorry for her to have to deal with me in my ways. And then it's like, no, 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 no. This God doesn't make mistakes. This is by his divine plan. So here we are in Colossians chapter 3. verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, we know that children, it's because it says children, this is a command to children, obey your parents. We know that they do not naturally obey their parents in all things. They just don't. They don't just come out that way and just, yes, mommy, and, you know, kind of a thing. Even the laid-back, very compliant children, they don't obey their parents in all things. And so it is up to the parent then to teach them and to train them. So this is a command to the children and a good command, but it's up to the parent's responsibility to teach them. What does that mean, and how are you going to do that? In verse 21, it's interesting to me that this command is to the fathers, along with the verses in Ephesians chapter 6, talking to children about obeying your parents, again, talking to fathers, that fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged, or don't frustrate your child, or don't expect or demand more out of them than what they can give you, because they will become discouraged. And it's interesting that it is to the fathers, because he is the head of the household. But even in these biblical days and today, the mothers are the ones raising the children most hours of the day. Because in those days, the fathers, they would go out in the field, they would work as hard as our husbands work today, and the mother is the one raising and training the child, and yet the father has the responsibility, really, for the results. It kind of takes the load off a little bit, but it is interesting. But he's saying, don't frustrate them, encourage them, praise them for their obedience rather than criticizing them all the time. Now, there have been so many books written on parenting in the Christian world and in secular world. I mean, just hundreds and thousands of books, because parents need help, because it's like, we don't know how to do this. We need help. And there's been a lot of good things written, good things to learn and to practice from secular books and from Christian books. But there has been some very, very bad things written in both secular and Christian parenting books that goes totally against the Word of God. And it's just a man or a woman's opinion on what they think is best. You know, we grew up my age with Dr. Spock's so-called wisdom. It was just horrible, and it, I don't know what they call it today, but it's really no different than what he's doing. It's still, you know, you don't want to tell the child no, you don't want to spank, you don't want to do those things, you know, and look at the fruit. I mean, look at the fruit today in people's lives. And if Christians start taking that advice and applying it to their parenting, we're going to be in a bigger mess. This book gives the instruction. There's one book we can trust, and that is this book, because God gives us, he created us, and he gives us the wisdom, the instruction, the direction for raising of our children. And as a mom, we need to go there first. We don't run to the other books. We don't run to our mother. We don't run to anyone else, but we go here first, and see what he has to say. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that if a parent, a mother, who is, beginning on motherhood or in the midst of it, if she took this book, the Bible, and she looked up every scripture that has to do with parents or children and got her instruction from this, and then took the whole counsel of God into consideration and then applied all of that. And then she got down on her knees and she sought the Lord, not just really quick, but giving time to seeking Him for wisdom, for direction, for guidance, and what she's supposed to do, how she's supposed to take care of this child, how she's supposed to raise her child, what is she supposed to do, what isn't she supposed to do, and all of that, that she would be fully and completely equipped to raise and train that child. He gives us, if He's called us, tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. And if He's called us to motherhood, then He will equip us. And we must seek Him for that. When we, just reading those verses on child raising, all those proverb verses and in Deuteronomy and elsewhere in the scriptures, and we just meditate on those. Lord, what does that mean? And how can I apply that? And show me. He will. He will. And there's no quick, easy fix on any of this. But I think a lot of the drawback, a lot of the problems we face, and forgive me if this steps on any toes, but it's just selfishness. It's just self. Because when I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do in the raising of my children, it's because I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I want to get up again. I don't want to say it again. I don't want to enforce that kind of a thing. You know, if we could just get self out of the way and put on love, as we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, put on love and do what is best for that child. And I knew when I wasn't. It's just even right as a new Christian in the whole, now I have to train and discipline and all that kind of a thing. And I knew I was just kind of, you know, saying it, not enforcing it. I knew, boy, you're lazy. This isn't right. Yeah, I know, but I'm lazy and this isn't right. And, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, you know, it's just, grow in the Lord in strength and obey. Step out and do it. Now, I believe also that the Lord has given mothers those so-called motherly instincts that we have, just like He has given animals. I mean, you know, it's amazing when you learn about animals and how those mothers care for their young and protect them. It's just in them because God has created them to do that, and He's created us as moms in the same way. Now, it does tell us in the last days that men or women, people, will be lovers of themselves and they will be without natural affection. And that, it just basically means you're so self-absorbed that all those motherly, naturally things are just stripped. I mean, you just, conscience is seared for whatever reason. And so there are plenty of people out there that, you know, that's why mothers can do horrible things to their children, but He has put those within us, and as we seek Him, He is working in our hearts and in our lives so that we know when that baby cries, our first instinct is to get up and comfort and see what the problem is instead of ignoring it, and all of those kind of things, those nurturing kind of things that sometimes this world in certain books, they want to twist and say, no, you're the one in charge. And I remember reading one thing, you know, you're in charge. Don't let that baby, you know. I mean, I understand that when they get a little older, but brand new baby, you know, we're here to love and to nurture and to take care of. And as you know, if you've raised kids, it's just for a short time in the moment. You know, remember when you bring that baby home from the hospital, it's forever. That you're never going to ever sleep again. You know, but you know, it's temporary. But fight those secular opinions that want to strip away those motherly instincts of love and protection and nurturing for your child. Remember, put on love. Do what is best for the other. Now, I'm not saying that you give into every whim of a child. Of course you don't. There's age appropriate responses and actions that we must take and all of that. But love always does what's best for the other person. Love doesn't think of themselves. And so as a mom, love does what is best for that child. Love thinks what is best for that child. Love doesn't think of themselves. So in that time of training and correcting and whatever, love will go ahead and get up. Now, I loved myself plenty of times, way more than I actually loved my agape'd, my child, because I didn't want to do it. But then who suffers the consequences? You're going to have to do it sooner or later. But love, I think all of us moms who've raised our kids will agree and stand up and say, just love. Just don't think of yourself. You can think of yourself later, maybe. But love that child and do what is right first. Now, the Bible, as I said, is full of instruction for parents, for raising children. There's so much you can say. I mean, you could break all of these into, one session at a time and really not exhaust it. And so, of course, this is just going to be an overview of some things that I think are very important or just basic for us. But Proverbs 22:6 tells us that we're to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So our job, again, children, obey your parents. Parents, train your children up in the way that he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So it's our job, our responsibility to teach them, to train them. You're given the privilege, an awesome privilege and responsibility of this little life who is a little sponge, and they don't know, they only know what's right here, and that you get to put in the information, you get to build the values and the right moral and biblical truths in their lives. That is so exciting to be able to do that and encourage those young moms that is what they are doing. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a great portion of scripture for parenting, for mothering. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, verse 5 is the most important. You shall love the Lord your God. And notice the first word, you. The best, the most important thing as a mom is that you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the best thing you can do for your children. You get your relationship with the Lord where it is supposed to be. That is why your quiet time is vital, because that is a time where you are intimate with the Lord and you're quieting your heart before the Lord in that relationship. It's not just going to church and Bible studies and that thing. It's that your time with Him and in the Word. That is the most important thing you can do as a mother. Even when you're tired, even when it seems like it won't fit into the day. I used to tell my children quite often, and they were 3 and 1 when we came to know the Lord. But I used to tell them, and they didn't want to take a nap. Tyler didn't want to sleep ever. Ever. I mean, just never required any sleep at all. But I needed that quiet time. I didn't do it in the morning at that time, but I did it during nap time. They didn't nap, so it wasn't a really quiet time. But I would tell them, I need to spend time with Jesus. Do you want me to be a good mommy? Do you want me to be a happy mommy? You need to go in your room. Let mommy be with Jesus. Because when mommy is with Jesus, she's so much nicer and happier. You know, maybe that's not the right thing to do, but that was very important to me. And then that poured into them, knowing that, okay, this is an important thing. I don't get this now. I'm only 3. I don't get this, but one day it will sink in. But the most important thing for us is to grow in our relationship with the Lord, our knowledge of the Word, and our prayer life, and our faith, and our trust in Him. And then in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them. How are you going to teach them if you don't know them? And don't expect anybody else to teach them. As parents, it's our job, it's our responsibility to teach our children the things of the Lord. And I remember early on in my Christian walk, and they were 3 and 1, and then they were 2 and 4, and I was serving and teaching Sunday school and all that, and one day I thought, which was probably the Lord just saying, you know, you're teaching those kids at Sunday school, you need to do that in your home. Yeah, we can't leave it up to the Sunday school teachers. As wonderful as they are, it's our job all day long to teach them. And that standing up and sitting down and all that, that is all the time. But we are to teach them. And I like, and if you are a grandparent or will become a grandparent, jot down Deuteronomy 4:9. Because in that, it also says to teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So there's a command for us as grandmas, to teach them to our grandchildren when they are in our care, when they're in our home, to pour the things of the Lord into their lives. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, all day long, all the time, God's word, His presence, His ways should be a part of your daily life. When you just talking throughout the day, you're pointing out things of the Lord. Oh, look, the sun came up today. God made the sun. I mean, you know, just all those little things all throughout the day that you're talking. Now, this I learned these verses very early on. In fact, it was probably 2 months old in the Lord, and we went to a parenting class. Wow, did I find out everything I was doing wrong, because you just didn't know. And so it was very good instruction for me. But these verses were key. And I thought, wow, I don't really talk much during the day, because I talk a lot more now than I used to. But I was a very quiet person. And in my house with my kids, I was very quiet. If I didn't need to talk, I wouldn't talk. And I thought, ooh, that's not good. I need to be talking. I'm thinking all the time. I'm thinking these things now. Just, Karen, just say them, because those little ears need to hear. Of course, now I probably don't be quiet around them, but just talk about the Lord and those things that God created, and talk about sin, talk about the consequences of sin, talk about the path of obedience, to talk about the path of disobedience. The path of obedience is blessed, and look at how wonderful everything will be. But if you go that way ever when we're naughty, this is the path of disobedience. And teach them those Bible truths and those Bible characters, bring them to life so they become become their friends. I was just thrilled when our girls would start playing, and they started playing Mary and Joseph, or they started playing, Noah, and instead of Barbie and Ken or somebody, that they're playing Bible characters. It needs to be a part of their lives so that they take that on and it just sinks into their heart. Teach them to pray. Pray with your children. Teach them pray. Just pray. Pray with them and let them see you pray. Teach them to have a love for the Word of God and a respect for the Word of God. You know, we teach more by example than by words. And so how I treat the Word, how I treat this Bible, they're going to treat it that way. How I honor the Lord, they are going to do that. There is a wonderful book, probably most of you have read it, that Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I can't remember the author, but it's in the library and bookstore. Very, very good book. To get, but this pouring the Lord into the lives of our children all the time, so He becomes the main focus. Now, I remember one turbulent time in the teenage years that I said, I don't know, it was a stressful moment before school, and I said something about the Lord, and my daughter said, "Do you have to bring God into it all the time?" Yeah, I said. I mean, it took me back. I said, "Yeah, He's my life. Yeah, I do. Okay? But you bring Him in all the time. Talk about Him. Even in those little rebellious moments that they have, they'll walk away thinking, yeah, you're right. You are her life. Yeah, that's right." And their heart gets checked and changed. Part of this training, big part of this training, is that discipline, because you're teaching your children discipline in life. There is a big difference between people, adult people. A disciplined person and a non-disciplined person. You know a self-controlled person and not a self-controlled person. And so all this training, this discipline, is to teaching your children the right way to go, the right way to respond, the right way to do things, the right way to think. And a lot of that, especially in the early years, it involves correction. A mother's job is to correct, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction, it's there to correct. And a mother is correcting all the time. A mother must praise and encourage too, but a lot of our job is correcting. And the Bible gives specific and lots of instruction about correcting or disciplining their children. And it's very important that we know what that word means, because, quite frankly, I am just angry over what the world has, what it has done and how it portrays discipline and correction, and how it has put down Christians because they are trying to train, discipline, and correct their children in a biblical way. But they don't understand it, and a lot of Christian people don't understand it. Flip over to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, he says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we've paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, notice that the word punishment is not in that, and it's not implied in that. It's not punishment. And a lot of times people consider the discipline, the spanking, the chastening as punishment. And that's not how the Lord treats his children. It is correction. It is so that we will do better. And if pain needs to be inflicted to get our attention to drive home the point, then the Lord uses that with us. Okay, so that we won't disobey and we will go in the right direction. So I really think it's just a disservice to the Lord and a misrepresentation of him in this area of chastening to say I'm being punished. Now carry that over in parenting, in disciplining our children. We're not punishing our children for the wrong that they have done. We are trying to correct it. We're trying to turn it around. And if pain needs to be inflicted to get their attention to remember, ooh, that hurts, I won't do that again, then that's why the Lord has that. Now, there's a lot of verses in Proverbs. I'm going to read them. These are all in Proverbs. I think they were most probably all in your homework. 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Let me just stop right there. He who spares his rod hates his son. This verse hit me like a ton of bricks when I came to know the Lord. Because, as I said, my girls were 3 and 1. Never, I didn't spank them because I grew up. That's what bad people do to their kids, is spank them. You're a rotten mother. You're angry. You're out of control. You're a child beater kind of thing. You don't spank. So I had a very, 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 very strong-willed 3-year-old. Now, picture that in your mind without having that child spanked for 3 years. And just talked to, really works well. So when I went to this parenting seminar, and I had them teach me, and they gave me that verse, that hit me. That just fried my brain. I mean, it made me so confused, because everything I'm feeling is telling me, oh no, that's wrong. But now this is God. And this is God. And this is his word. And he says to me, if I spare the rod, I hate my child. Who is going to be right? Am I me or God? God. Okay, you're God. I believe you. And if I love my child, I'm going to discipline him promptly. Okay, Proverbs 19:18, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. 23:13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he won't die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Yes, I had experienced that. 29:17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight to your soul. And God must know what he's talking about. So I need to know how to do this. Now, because of the abuse and the anger of people, these verses and this whole subject of disciplining by spanking has just been twisted and turned around. And it really does. It really irritates me. It makes me angry. There's a book called spanking, the loving way to discipline or something like that. And that book saved my life at that time because it very clearly and biblically showed me what the reason for spanking and all the how-tos. I don't agree with everything in the book. I couldn't swing as far as he did, but I took a lot. Well, I tried to the title is Spanking: A Loving Discipline by Roy Lesson, but it's no longer in print. And one of our staff people actually talked to him, the author, and it's no longer in print because it's not selling. Nobody's buying it. And he has received very, very harsh criticism from, of course, the secular world, but even within Christianity, because of his biblical stand on spanking. Because all of a sudden in the year 2008, God's wrong. And now there are other ways that you discipline, because God's wrong. He's not wrong. Just because somebody, a lot of them, have abused and have spanked out of anger, it's for them. They're spanking for them. I'm going to get you, you know, in the hole you blow off and you hit and whatever. That's not how the Lord chastens us. And that's not how we're supposed to correct and discipline our children. It's putting on love. It's doing what is best and what is right. So we never, ever, 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 ever spank or use the rod or discipline in any way out of anger. Never. You wait until you are not angry. This discipline was the hardest thing for me because it was ingrained in my mind. And then I bought a little spanking spoon because I had wonderful godly women around to instruct me on this. And I watched them and I bought my spanking spoon. And the enemy just let me have it. What kind of a mother are you? And you are, look at that, you're hurting your child. I mean, all kinds of just all of that. Family members, same thing. I mean, it was me and Damien alone, and you know, and then the wonderful people at church that believed the Bible and were raising their kids in that way. And it was very, very hard, very hard. And you know, try to spank a strong-willed 3-year-old who's never been spanked before. Hold still. Oh, okay. You know, they're not going to do it. It was probably one of the hardest things I had. I mean, I would just cry because I don't want to do this, but I want to obey the word and I believe the word. I don't care what all those other people say. God has the right wisdom and his ways. Even then in 1981, it was still true, and it's still true today. Don't let anybody tell you differently. But we must do it with the right heart attitude. I'm loving that child, and I'm going to correct them for it. I'm going to lovingly administer a little spank or a big spank if necessary. And I know people, you know, you can get locked up for doing it today and probably be locked up for saying it, but lock me up. I mean, it's the truth. It is the truth. Now, all through the years when I've talked about discipline and I've talked about this, I've always had somebody say to me, well, yes, but there are other ways of disciplining. There, you know, you don't just, it's not just spanking kind of a thing. I am not saying that there is no other way of disciplining. Of course, there are a lot of ways that you can discipline and correct your child. Of course there are. You talk with them. You explain to them why this is wrong and this is the right way to do it. You know, there are age-appropriate means of discipline. You can withhold privileges from them. We all know that. You can sit them in the corner. Yes, you can. I don't believe in counting or threats, because it just doesn't work and you're training them to not listen to you. But isn't it interesting that this is the way that God's word tells us to discipline? And how many verses did I read? He doesn't instruct us. Now, when your child's disobedient, I want you to take them and I want you to sit down and have a little chat. I would like you to take away their car keys. I would like you to take away their little toy boat. He doesn't tell us that, even though those are fine ways. And I don't know what you're thinking when I say this. If you've raised your kids or you're in the process, you know, I don't know if you agree with me or not. But have you read the Bible? Do you know that this is the way God instructs us to do this? He doesn't want us to inflict this pain out of hate, out of anger, again, out of punishment. Well, you deserve to be spanked and, you know, kind of a thing. No, it's out of love. So that little, you know, two-year-old is going to remember that little sting on that bottom. And I won't do that again because that hurt. I think, you know, it's out of love. It's God's way. And, of course, it's a huge subject, and I probably have created confusion and probably have a lot of questions over that. But that book is actually in our library, and we are trying to see if we can get it back in print, because it is a very, very good book. And just, you know, do it God's way. And I know I've had mothers tell me, well, spanking doesn't work with my child. Really? Okay. God's wrong. You know, and one of my grandchildren told me early on, well, spanking doesn't work. Well, it does in my house. Okay, you might not think it's worked. I'm not going to talk with you about this. You know, it does. It does. If God said it, it must work. It must. Do we believe His word? Just put on love. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And know that you're doing this for their good. For their good. Okay, I'm going to move on. Now, the last time talked about mothering, I had asked a handful of women, and I have my memory is horrible, so I'm glad I have notes. I don't even know who I asked or who was a part of this at all. But I had asked a handful of women who had already raised their kids, and I asked them a few questions and wrote down their answers. And as I read through them again, I thought, wow, these are valuable. These are very, very good for us. So I'm just going to quickly read through these. And I think even for those who have raised their kids already, it's just good to have planted in your heart one more time so you can go share with those who are raising their kids. And then for those of you who are in the process, listen, these are from experienced mothers. And just good, good, sound advice. Let's see. The first question. What are two things that you would like to tell younger women? Now, we're kind of doing that home builders class once a month. Kind of like that. They're older women. Tell us something. Talk to us like we're your daughters. We want to hear you. We want to hear your experience. All the mistakes you made and all the good stuff you did. You know what I'm saying. But we want to learn and grow from you. So this is two things that they would like to tell young mothers. It is an awesome responsibility. Stay home as much as you are able and give them the best hours of your day. Now, as I'm reading these two, know that probably these mothers, they probably didn't do all these things. But this is what is important and this is what they would tell us. Each child is different. Is entirely different. Find out early their differences and train them as individuals. Share God's word with them constantly. Die to yourself and serve them. Don't be discouraged even when you have days that you want to run away. Is there a mother in the room who has never wanted to run away? Okay, yeah, we've all wanted to run away. Don't call me mom one more time. Love is a decision followed by an action. Keep a good sense of humor. That's very important. Actually, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they asked, well, what is there an age of when you wouldn't spank anymore kind of a thing. I said, well, there's no magic age. Everybody's different. If you have disciplined your child and done a very good biblical job in it, you could spank into the teen years because you're not going to have any defiance. You're not going to have any rebellion. You're not going to have any of that. They're going to be submissive. And if a spanking needs to happen, okay. So I remember this keeping a good sense of humor thing. I hadn't spanked my girls. They had, you know, had grown and hadn't needed it. And until, I don't know, I think it was Tyler, and she was probably, she might have been 14. I don't know. And she needed a spanking. She had an attitude or something, you know. And so she needed a spanking, and this talking to or whatever, nothing's working. So I said to her, you need a spanking, and I am going to spank you. You're not going to spank me. Yes, I am. Go in your room. So I went and got my spoon, which is still on the top of the refrigerator to this day. And I walked in there. And she said, Mom. I said, Tyler, just hold still. So I spanked her. We were in hysterics. It was just the most ridiculous thing. I said, now, are you snapped out of it? Okay, let's move on. You know, see, you do. You got to keep a good sense of humor. Listen to them. Don't follow fad child psychology books and teachers. No one has ever come up with a better plan for raising your kids than our Heavenly Father. Fight to stay home and raise your children. They are your prime mission field. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Teach your children to problem solve with the Bible, using the Bible. Build relationships with your children, and she lists some. Play with them, laugh, sing, pray with them, get down on their level, hug and kiss them, look them in the eye, talk about everything with them, listen more, let them know that they can tell you anything, and ask them what they think, how they feel, what they dream of. Apologize when you are wrong and ask them to forgive you and show them how much you need Jesus. Tell them how much you love them and how glad you are that God gave them to you, and discipline them with a tender, sad heart because they chose the wrong way. Not an angry heart because they were bugging you again. And never stop pursuing, loving, and praying for your children. And I say amen to that. After they're out of your house, never, ever stop loving and pursuing and praying for your children. You know, sometimes we have these expectations of adult children that are just not real, and they've got to go through what they've got to go through. So if they don't call you and if they're too busy and all that, go ahead and call them. Don't play a game. Well, I'm not calling her because she didn't call. You know, don't get your feelings hurt. You are the mother. You're always going to be the mother. You're always going to be the pursuer. It's probably not until you need a lot of physical care that your daughter or son is going to pursue you. That's the way it is as mothers. You know, we're the ones. We're pursuing and loving. Your children grow up so quickly. Something that is considered important now, time for yourself and your own interests, were unheard of when I was raising my children or when my mother was raising her family. But when our family comes first, God afterwards rewards us with little nuggets of time for hobbies of our own interests. Spend time early in the morning reading the Bible and praying. Set the alarm clock so you can be up before all others awake in order to spend time with the Lord. Bible study is not enough. You must pray for God's wisdom and direction in the raising of your children. Create in your children an awareness of God. Start at a very young age. When you admire a beautiful flower together, remind them how thankful and blessed we are that God is so created, and he created beautiful things for us to enjoy. Follow through on all discipline. Realize that your children won't rise up and call you blessed for an immaculate house, perfect clothes, gourmet, and perfectly nutritious meals. Be consistent in all training. Grow in your own personal relationship with the Lord. love their daddy, very important, and keep your children in church. That I threw in because keep your children in church, because every single one that I know over the years who didn't keep their children in church, they had a lot of problems, a lot of problems, a lot of struggles. So don't let soccer get in the way. Don't let sports get in the way. Don't let ballet get in the way. Don't let any activities, I don't feel like going to church. I don't like the youth group. All of those things, keep your children in church. I'm telling you, every single family I know that did not do this has had struggles with their kids. Now, then I asked for them to list the important things versus the unimportant things. Going to church versus soccer, baseball, dance, etc. The important things are those which have spiritual and or eternal consequences. The unimportant things are those that don't. All character issues are important. Material possessions are not important, or not as important as a good character. Teaching them to love and respect parents, grandparents, and the elderly. Making a house a home versus making a dream house. Being more concerned with your child's heart and their walk with God rather than their popularity or how they fit in. Teaching boys a trade or whatever their talents lean toward, and teaching girls homemaking skills. I think that's very good advice. Creating an open home atmosphere where your children would want to bring their friends over. Doing things together as a family, not separately. Eating meals together as a family. Bringing your children up under the influence of the Lord, not this world. Under His word, prayer, Bible study, church, and church activities, rather than movies, secular music, and reading materials. 2 hours of Sunday school or church once a week cannot hold back the tide of 100 hours of negative influence ready to wash over their lives. Teaching responsibility and respect for others and authorities. Unimportant, TV, fashion, beauty, or being handsome. Important, meals at the table surrounded by family, sharing the day's events versus cleaning your plate. Staying home to raise your children versus extra money. Important thing is to listen to your children. Keep the communication lines open, not the TV on. Discussion versus arguing. Important, read the Bible with them. In fact, immerse them in the Word. Teach them to serve others. Expose them to wholesome activities and entertainment. Be a good example in all areas and love Jesus passionately. The unimportant, watching TV. Keep them from pop culture as much as possible. Don't compromise in order to be accepted. Be their mother, not their friend. Don't be materialistic. They don't need as much as you think they do, or they think they do. People are more important than things. Doing what's best for your children instead of what's easiest. What's important is that they grow up and say, "My mommy taught me how to love Jesus and not myself." The fragrance of my heart is more important than the fragrance of my home. The motive of the heart versus who had it first. Staying up late, talking with a child versus a sink full of dirty dishes. And sometimes we spend hours and 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 hours talking with our children late at night. And you're tired, but boy, it's worth it. The inward versus the outward. And then I ask this. What things would you do differently if you could? Spend more time deepening my relationship with the Lord and praying for my children. Make sure that the easy child gets as much attention as the hard or the difficult child. I would laugh more. I would not worry about what other people thought or think. I would pray more. I would have more of the Lord, attending church, reading the Bible daily, and always starting and ending the day with thanks and praise to the Lord. I would pray and worship God more. Isn't this interesting? What would you do differently in your mothering? And look at these answers. I would have taught them about having a personal relationship with Jesus, have a Christ-centered home rather than an us-centered home. I would have been stricter in educating them about money, who it really belongs to, saving, giving, and working for it, and spent less time watching TV. I would pray with her more and read the Bible with her and take her to church. I would not yell, lose my temper. I would keep in mind that all my choices will affect hers. They learn by example and not by lecture. I would have a stronger walk with the Lord, spend more time with my children, train them under the admonition of the Lord, teach them to value God's word. I would have gotten rid of the TV earlier and encouraged good reading. I would have emphasized domestic chores, learning to cook and sew, encouraged volunteer or community service to help develop an others-centered attitude. I would have relaxed more. I would have made molehills out of more mountains that I created. I would have fun with them, sing more, pray more, play more. I would pick my battles more carefully and realize ultimately they belong to God and He doesn't really need my help. I would be more diligent to teach my children the importance of denying self and being other-centered. I would try not to have unrealistic expectations of them. I always expected them to be perfectly behaved in social settings, in their classroom and at the dinner table. I would relax much more over the little things and laugh more about the things that were probably pretty funny to somebody else at the time. I would wish I would have never disciplined in anger. I wish I would have encouraged quiet time with the Lord and helped them implement it into their day, even at a very young age. I would have been more patient with what the Lord was teaching me through my children. I would have put more of an emphasis on their personal responsibility to Christ. I would have given the Word of God more value. I would have prayed more each day, every day, being very specific with God, being dependent on His wisdom and not my own, asking for His guidance and help. I would have not disciplined until I myself was under control. I believe that if I had prayed more, I would have been more able to see the sinful natures of my kids more clearly, and I could have done better in correction of it at an earlier age while they were more pliable and had softer hearts than after the sin had a firm root. So, to be a mother. It's not an easy job. It's a wonderful job, but it's not an easy job. And really, we must do our best, our very best, and then commit the rest to the Lord. These are some valuable words of wisdom and advice. I made copies for you, and your group leaders will hand them to you, because I wanted you to take them home and read through them and just pick one of those and pray about it. Pray about starting to do that so you don't have to look back with any kind of regret like that. So all those things that we wished we could or would have done differently, we need to leave at the cross, stand in His grace. Because if I could do it all over again and was the same person, I'd do the same thing. And you can't go back, and and that's that. But you stand in the grace and continue to grow. His grace covers a lot. You're good moms. You love your kids. You take care of them. You feed them. You clothe them. You play with them. If nobody's told you thank you, thank you. I mean, the rest of the women in this room appreciate what you're doing. And the women in this room, we know. We know what it takes. We know the difficulty. And thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate all of your efforts. And you have done a good job. Don't look at your grown kids and base who they are, what they're doing on whether or not you've done a good job. Did you do your best? Then you've done well. And for you that are raising your kids still, take these things, take these lessons to heart. Go before the Lord and apply them. Lord, what do you want me to glean from this? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to change? Help me to grow in you. Help me to be others-centered. Help, just spend time with Him and then ask for help. Ask for godly counsel when you need it. And pray. And spend time with the Lord. And Father, thank you that we can take everything that we do, every service to you, and motherhood is a service, and we can lay it on the altar as a burnt sacrifice. Thank you for that calling. Thank you for the pleasures that are there. And thank you for how much we grow through the heartbreaks and the difficulties. And I thank you that for each one of us, Lord, that we're in the place that we are today to continue to grow, to continue to learn, and to be the mothers that you want us to be, whether our child is a brand new baby or 40 or 50 years old or anywhere in between. Lord, help us to be a mother that represents you. Help us to love. Help us to extend grace. Help us to be kind and patient and all of those things that are you are to us. I pray, Lord, for those who are raising their children, just guide them. Give them wisdom. Give them encouragement so they don't grow weary while doing good, that they will see the fruit, and that these maybe sleepless or hard discipline times that they're in now, Lord, that it's just a season. It's not going to be forever, and there will be good fruit from it. Pray that you would go before each one of my sisters, that you would bless the discussion time that they have in their group, that they would be able to learn from one another and encourage one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.